Praise God. I also know that as I pray for other people, God takes care of me. Praise the Lord. God made you. Knows everything about you. Knows where you're coming from. Knows where you're going. Knows your getting up and your setting down, as it says in Exodus. But in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Praise God. You got the clicker, right? Praise God. I don't know. Good. So from the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that were in them. On the sixth day after he created all the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, he created man in his image after his likeness. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, is what it says in Genesis 1. And as it goes through and reiterates it here in Genesis 2, verse 7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God fashioned Adam with his hands. Breathed his very breath into him, that man may become a living being. Knows us intimately, fashioned us, made us who we are, gave us the abilities, gave us the anatomy that we have, and isn't surprised by anything that goes on. Psalm 139, David talking to the Lord, verse 13. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are all your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you." The psalmist is giving praise because he knows that even before he was born, God was at work in his life. You know, I find it amazing going through the genealogies. A lot of people look at the genealogies and like, really? I have to know who begat who? The genealogies tell the story of God working out a timeline, God building together a situation. You look at the genealogies of Jesus, you see that in the line of Jesus you had Rahab the harlot, you had Ruth the Moabitess, when a Moabite wasn't allowed to come into the congregation for 10 generations. You have wicked kings, and through it all, God was preparing a plan. God was bringing things into place. You take a look at the wisdom of God and going through there, as how God has just brought things together. So the prophecy about Jesus, the messianic prophecy, say he was going to come of the line of David. And both Joseph and Mary were from the line of David. Just in case something was... No, brought it together. God doing wondrous things. Putting people in place. In Jeremiah... No, it's not Jeremiah. It's Isaiah. Talking to a king. And he said, "Ask the Lord a sign." He says, "I'm not going to ask the Lord a sign. that real New English translation, right? Okay. I'll tell you what it says because I don't remember the exact wording. I'm not going to ask the Lord a sign. He said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. This is in Isaiah. This is in 2 Kings. Way back when. And God fulfilled it and put it to pass. God works the same way in our own lives. I've told this story before. Back, Deb and I have been married 21 years now. Back at our 15th anniversary, we went to Branson, Missouri for a couple of weeks. That was our vacation trip. We were gone for 12 days out of Vermont. And as we were coming back, it's our anniversary's in November. We're coming back from Missouri. We're coming toward the Great Lakes. And we were kind of curious what the weather was. Lord, you can't find anything on the radio, can't find anything online about what the weather is. And we're praying and we're saying, Lord, we need to know. We don't want to be near the Great Lakes and get caught in a horrible storm and get delayed. On the other hand, we don't want to drive, you know, a couple hundred miles out of the way to avoid it if we don't have to. What do? And we're getting closer, and we're in the eastern part of Ohio, almost to the Pennsylvania border. And stop to get off, go to the bathroom, stop at a gas station. And as we pull, get off the highway, we come up to the stop sign. It's a clover leaf off the highway. There's gas stations at three of the four corners. And as we pull up to take a right to go to the gas station that's closest by us, a car goes past with Vermont plates. We haven't seen Vermont plates in 12 days. But here we get to the stop sign, and they're going exactly where we're going. And they pull in, and I pull in next to them. He honked the horn and point back at our plates, and I go park. Deb goes inside, and I go over to talk to them. And they're from Hinesburg, down south of Burlington. They're from Hinesburg, and they're on their way to visit their son in Cincinnati, I think it was, southern Ohio. And he's been there for 4 years. They're 10 hours away from home. And they said, don't go near the Great Lakes because there's a horrible storm up there. God said, before you call, I will answer. And all of a sudden, I had this insight, had this thought. How far in advance of my prayer that morning, our prayer that morning, had God answered it? Was it the 10 hours it took them to drive? Was it the 4 years the son had been in Cincinnati? Was it the 40 years before when the son was born? How far in advance has God been answering our prayers? When God says, before you call, I will answer. God knows what's going on in our lives. God made you. God knows about you. God loves you. As we just read here in Psalm 139, there in verse 16, it says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Before we were ever born, God was at work in our lives, setting things in place. The God who sees the end from the beginning, knows everything about us, loves us, made us, and has a plan and purpose for our lives. No matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, no matter what our situation is, God is not surprised by anything we do. God is not surprised by anything that come up. And He is showing Himself mighty in our lives. Psalm 22, beginning with verse 7, is the Messianic Psalm. Verse 7 says, all those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip and shake their head. And that's, I'm like, what does shoot out the lip mean? It's make a contemptuous face is what that is. And said, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me to trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. Crying out to the Lord, as I just said, it's a messianic psalm speaking of Jesus, but declaring that from the very womb, God has shown himself mighty. Even before then, God has shown himself that he is God. And is at work in our lives. Psalm 71, beginning with verse 4, says, deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. But you are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall continually be to you. So that's three different places in the Psalms where it gives reference to the fact that God is the one who formed us. God is the one who has been with us, caring for us since our birth, watching over us and guide us. In Jeremiah 1, when Jeremiah is called, the word of the Lord came to him. Actually, what verse 4 says. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." God has a gifting and giftings and callings for each and every one of us. He has a plan and purpose for our lives that He set in place before we were ever born. And we can rest and rely on that. I keep thinking of Hezekiah. Hezekiah the king, you remember him? He was sick. He was on his deathbed. And Isaiah the prophet came to him and said, "The Lord said, set your house in order because you're going to die." And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cried out and said, "Lord, remember me for the good." And Isaiah wasn't even out of the courtyard of the palace yet. And God turned him around and sent him back and said, Go back and speak to him and say, God said, "I have remembered and I've extended your life by 15 years. 15 years later, when Hezekiah died, he was replaced by his son, Manasseh. Manasseh was 13 years of age when he became king. So 15 years earlier, he wasn't even thought of. Manasseh is listed as the most wicked king in the history of Israel. But before his death, he turned around and came back to seek the Lord. God has a plan and can redeem anybody. And God will work in our lives in ways that just at the time may not even make sense. But He is still God and has our good in mind. He says, Jeremiah, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you to give you a peace and give you a proper end, to bless you." God works in each and every one of us. He has a plan and purpose for our lives. And through it all, He reveals that He is God and that He loves us. In Galatians 1, beginning with verse 15, Paul is talking to the Galatians. He's talking about his conversion. He's talking about when he came to know the Lord. He has just said in verses 13 and 14 that I didn't get this gospel or this understanding from men. I got it straight from the Lord. Says verse 15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son to me that I may preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him for 15 days." Did you catch that in verse 15, "God separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace." Paul's early years was spent learning. He learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee. He was very zealous with what he knew. And God used that same reputation and that same zeal, that same things that he had learned even when he didn't have a full understanding, didn't know who Jesus was following to the very best of his understanding, even though it was not pleasant for those, he was arresting believers and putting them in prison. But when God turned him, when God caught him, when God worked in his heart and turned him around, God used those giftings, the experiences that he had to give him an understanding of following after the Lord. He followed after the Lord with his whole heart. But he said, "I didn't get this from men, but it was the God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. When God revealed his son to me that I might preach to him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." Remember when Paul was called? Paul was on his way to Damascus with a group of people. He's on his way to Damascus and a bright light shone from heaven. Paul fell from his horse. He had the encounter with Jesus there by the roadside. Saul, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks? Why do you kick against the goads, the sharp sticks? And he said, why persecutest thou me? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And this is what you must do. And he sent him on into Damascus, blind and helpless. And called Ananias and said, there's one coming. He is a precious vessel to me. I want you to go pray for him that he might receive his sight. Ananias says, Lord, I've heard about this guy. God said, he is a precious vessel to me. Even standing against the believers, standing against those people that were following after Jesus, standing and causing trouble, God said, he's a special, precious vessel to me. We have people around us, acquaintances, co-workers, that really don't want to hear anything about the Word of God. But you know what? God said, Scripture says, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are called to be lights in this generation. Called to be lights in the world around us, in the spheres of influence where He has placed us. We are bought with a price. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And He has us here for a purpose and a plan to show His love, to show His grace, to show His mercy. God knows exactly who you are. He made us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. Final passage, Romans 9, beginning with verse 20. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel of honor and another for dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even on us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said of them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living God. God has extended his mercy in my life, and I'm sure he has in your life too. God has called us and prepared us and worked in us. And when we see the wickedness in the world around us, recognize that it is the long-suffering of God, the tender mercy of God, who is reaching out and calling, and we are to be lights and to be ambassadors and to reach out and to show the love of God, because maybe, just maybe, they'll hear. Just maybe they'll turn. Just maybe they'll realize. Because God's stirring in everybody's, and God is stirring, and we don't know how He's stirring in people's lives. If we write off people because they're rude, they're obnoxious, they're loud, they're violent, they're fill in the blank, they're drunk, they're drug addicts, they're whatever. If we write off people, then we get in the way of God moving in their lives, and we become an obstacle and a stumbling block. I am so grateful that God was patient with me when I was running from Him. I am so grateful that God was merciful and brought me to a place of repentance. And I am so grateful that His mercy is not used up. There are people around us who need Jesus. And we are called to be the light that they see. We are called to be the salt that makes them stop and think. We are called to show the love and mercy of God. And that includes showing the patience of God. Father, help us. Lord, we thank you that you knit us together in our mother's womb, that you know all of our days. All of our days were written in a book before ever any of them were. You have directed our steps and continued to guide our paths, and you have brought us this far. And we know, Lord, even as we say, Ebenezer, this far the Lord has been with me, that this is not the ending point, that you still have a plan and purpose, that your giftings and callings are without repentance, and that you have sent us to be lights in the midst of the darkness. Lord, as we see the gross darkness that is taking place in our nation, we see the wickedness. We know, Father, that there is a need for light, and we thank you that you are sending laborers into the harvest. We thank you, Father, for those here that you have equipped and are continuing to equip to be that light. And we thank you, Father, for our brothers and sisters around the nation, our brothers and sisters around the world, stepping out and showing that love in the midst of the darkness. Lord, we pray that you would turn the hearts of the people that don't know you, Father, that there be a receptive ear, Father, that you soften their hearts. And Lord, that your word would go forth in power, that your word would go forth with effect to touch and turn them, Lord. For Lord, you've called us to be lights. You've called us to be witnesses. You've called us to be ambassadors. Lord, that we not worry about our own plans, our own purposes, Father, but that we be about the will of the Father. Lord, direct us and guide us, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.